Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew and chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 30. Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 30. And beginning in verse 1, these are the words of our God. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." His disciples said to him, "If such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry." But he said to them, "All cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it." Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven," or the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And those are God's words. And Jesus left for Judea and was healing many people. The Pharisees came along also and tried to test him concerning divorce. Should a husband and a wife divorce? Jesus' answer, verse 6, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Man is not to separate husband and wife, whether that be the husband himself trying to separate or the wife herself trying to separate. Only God can do this separation, and that through death. The Pharisees questioned and asked, well, what about Moses? He commanded that a certificate of divorce be given. And Christ's answer was, is because of their hardness of heart he gave that command. Because of their wickedness. But we know Scripture teaches us that God hates divorce. God hates divorce. The disciples too were hung up on that. Well, if we can't divorce our wives, then it's better not to marry. Verse 10. If you can be a eunuch, then accept that, Jesus answered. But if you can't, then you should marry, because it's not good for man to be alone. From verses 13 to 15, Jesus calls the children to come unto Him. All of you children, you are to come unto Jesus Christ. He wants you to come to Him. He says to you, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. To the children. Covenant children, you belong to the kingdom of heaven. And so believe in the King Jesus Christ for your salvation. And then verses 16 through 22, the account of what we often call the rich young ruler who believed, he kept all of the commandments, and yet being rich, Christ called him to go and sell all that he had and follow Christ. But he's not willing to follow Christ. He thought he was good enough. He didn't need Christ and needed his possessions. Is that you? Jesus said to all of us, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. But if you leave all for Christ, the promise at the end of the chapter is what you will be rewarded with greatly. He said, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. And so, beloved, this chapter we're called to follow Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise and we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for these truths that You love marriage, that You hate divorce, that You love children, and You love Your children. The children who are amongst us this evening. Every one of them, from the youngest to the oldest. That You love Your people who follow You. And yet, Father, what great warnings we have as well of those who refuse to follow You, who refuse to give up all for Christ. And Father, we pray that we would be a people who are willing to give up everything for Christ. And we are rich in this nation. All of us here are rich. And Father, we ask that You would help us to put those riches aside, to put on Christ, to put on His righteousness. As we are clothed with His righteousness, we pray that You would help us to be righteous. And Father, we confess our sins. We have committed sin against You. We have committed sin against one another. We have turned from Your law, from Your commandments and Your ways. And we have followed the ways of the world, the flesh and the devil. Father, forgive us of our sins. Just as we heard, we have not kept Your commandments. We have not loved the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We come confessing our sins and seeking Your forgiveness. And we know that promise that You forgive those who confess their sins. We pray that we would not be a people who think that we have no sin, because if that is true, then You say there is no truth in us. But Father, may it be that there is truth in us, and we would confess our sins, that we have broken Your commandments, and we're thankful that You're just and right to forgive us of all of our sins. In Christ, Your Son, who was sacrificed on the cross, whose blood was shed for us. So, Father, help us. Grow us in faith. Grow us in righteousness, that we would cease sinning, that we put to death our sin, especially that sin that so easily entangles us and is that habitual sin. Because we know sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. And we don't want any part of death. We want to live forever. We want to live with You in communion with You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all eternity. So, Father, help us and turn us from our sin. You can do this only as You've taught us by Your Word and Spirit, and so do it as You promise You will. We pray that You'll sanctify us and bring us unto glory. You would glorify us together with Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, if this is to be, then we must follow You. And so give us the Spirit that we would follow You and follow that narrow path that leads to eternal life, not the broad path that leads to destruction. And Father, we pray that You would be with us this week as we go forth from here, that our worship would be as we hear and as we participate in hearing and praying and singing. We pray that through it You would build us up in faith, that You would strengthen us to serve You this week, that You would grant us Your grace, that we would testify the good news of Jesus Christ to all that we come in contact with, that You would give ample opportunity for that, that Your kingdom would grow, that the nation would turn unto You, and that judgment would cease, if it be Your will, from this place and our nation. And yet, Father, we know, again, that judgment comes first to the house of God. And so, Father, we pray that we would turn from our sin and wickedness, even in our false worship, wherever we commit it, whether in our deeds or in our heart, or in our mind or in our desires or in emotions, wherever we falsely worship You. Turn us and keep us from temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep us from distraction, that we would have our attention focused intently upon You from our hearts and in our bodies. And now, Father, we pray that Your name would be praised and exalted, that Your promises You would be faithful to, and we know You will because You're always faithful to all of Your promises. And so, Father, we put our hope and our trust in You and Your Word, because Your Word is truth, and so sanctify us with the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.